الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودة. صدق الله المولى العظيم. وذكرت أو معمولات we mentioned should read Allahu Akbar after the namaz. Three times astaghfirullah and astaghfirullah al-azim al-ladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. The third time completely. Then we should make dua. If there aren't any sunnah and muakkada after that namaz, then you can make a lengthy dua. And the dua is not joined with the imam's dua. The imam, his dua is his dua. The minute you make salam, now our, so to say, contract with the imam is over now. Now he makes his dua and we make our dua. Normally it is understood that dua is also part of the namaz. And we have to follow the imam in that. And in that we have a lot of dispute with the Salafis who say there is no dua. Like in Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif, they don't make dua after namaz. Dua after namaz is sabit from hadith. But this that which is joined with the imam, that is not sabit. The imam makes his dua, we make our dua. The imam normally will be a person that he's the poor, usually the ulama. And usually they have a lot of children. And the mutawallis, the rich people, they are people who got a lot of money, but they want children. So the imam will be making dua for money. And the people want the children. They want more children. Everyone's interests are different. So everyone is to make dua according to what he wants. Yes, like after a bayan is made, then and a collective dua is made and we follow and we say Ameen. Because that is, we are working in one direction. It's a common purpose. So the dua is also made for that. So, for example, bayan was made on namaz. So the dua also Allah grants us to make our namaz properly. But after every namaz, everyone has got a different agenda, a different need. So everyone should be making his own dua. And we don't have to end the dua with the imam's dua also. We imam makes his dua, we make our dua. So where the Salafis say there is no dua, that is wrong. And where we have made the practice that we just follow the imam and we regard that as part of the namaz. After the imam makes salam, it's finished. Now it's we, our dua and the imam's dua. So if there is sunnah and muakkada, the dua should be made short. And in that he said, first you must have praises of Allah, durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and make tawbah istighfar for all our gunas. Then ask Allah ta'ala. And if it's like Fajr and Asr, then we can make longer dua. Because we don't have to make any sunnah and muakkada. And dua, as we explained, we should do it from the heart. That is what really dua is. And dua we should make in our own language. If we know Arabic and we understand the meaning, even more better. But if not, then we shouldn't just be reading the dua and we don't understand them. That is not dua at all. The dua is not a recital to read a dua. Dua is to make a dua. And the dua's place is the heart, not the tongue. The tongue is only the translation of it, but it is what is in the heart. So we should make and we should give importance to dua in our lives. Generally, we don't give importance. If we have to think of we who are sitting here, which minute or 2 minutes or 5 minutes in the 24 hours is my slot for dua. Like we have Fajr, I know Fajr is at 5 o'clock, so I must leave home at 4:45 or something. And I know I'll be back by 5:30, 4:45. We got that slot for that. For shop, work, office, I know I'll go 8 o'clock, I'll come back 5 o'clock. Whatever it is, everything we've got at time. But how many of us have got a time for dua? Dua also needs the time. It's very, very important, essential in our Mamula to have time for dua. After prayers, duas are readily accepted. But that time is not the time to make long duas. Whether we make that slot of our duas, tahajjud time, which is the best, for 5 minutes we make dua, 2 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever it might be. Otherwise, before Maghrib, whatever time you can, 10 minutes before Maghrib, 5 minutes before Maghrib, that's a valuable time also. Duas after Farz are accepted readily also. Duas between Adhan and Iqamah, we can even set that time aside. That after Adhan I make my sunnah, then I spend my time in dua till Farz namaz time. That time also duas. But we must have a slot for dua. If we haven't got that, that is a sign of being an atheist. Because then you don't believe in Allah. If you believe in Allah, you're going to ask Allah. Now if you're not asking Allah in your whole day, even if you're rushing with your child to the hospital, but there's no dua on your tongue, and you're just going, what the doctors will treat the child, and that you go by that. You haven't got in your heart that Allah is the doer. Every day we're going to shop. How many people will go to shop, go and look there for their rosy to the office? But to make Razak first happy by making our pleasure, then go and look for the rosy from Razak. But we don't make Razak happy. We don't make our pleasure, and we are going to look for rosy from Razak. You are going to somebody, you don't make him happy, but you are going to ask him for a favor. But what he wants you to do before that to come, the protocol, you don't fulfill that protocol. He won't even host you. He won't even entertain you what you want to say. So our very, very important dua. And then after dua, some wazais that we should read. One is we should try and put our hand, and this is approved by the ulama who study hadith, and it is authentic hadith. It is sunnah also, and the value of it is also very great. Put our hand on our forehead, preferably with the hand and the forehead together, right hand. And Bismillah, la ilaha illa huwa ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma azhib anni al-hamma wal-usr. La ilaha illa huwa ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There is no other deity, no power but Allah, who is Rahman and Rahim. Oh Allah, remove from me, Allahumma azhib anni al-hamma wal-usr. Ham and husn. Ham, worry, and husn is also worry. And ham is that worry, that very serious type of depression, where a person doesn't want to do anything, not get out of his bed, he doesn't want to see anyone, he doesn't want to talk to anyone, is a very bad depression. Allah will save that person. So this is a sunnah, and we should do it moreover because of it being a sunnah. That is the greatest reward. And then the meaning of the dua is also so great. So we should try and read that regularly also. Try and bring these things into our lives, inshallah. Further, with regard to our daily talks, where Allah has commanded us to keep roza and keep roza of all the parts of the body also. We discussed about roza of the eyes, roza of the tongue, ears, and the mind and heart, our thinking. And this thinking is such, we know, that our thoughts govern our actions. What the person's thoughts are, his actions are according to them. Our thoughts govern our mood also. What thoughts we have in our mind, according to that is our mood also. Good mood, bad mood, whatever. We know in our people, our family people, anyone we talk, we say for those people their thinking is different. Their thinking, that is their thought of this, which makes their whole lifestyle different. They are different, we can't speak to them. Their thinking is different. Or you say, speak about an atheist, that his thinking is completely different. So it is all this thought, and this is what we have to work on in Ramadan, to get our thoughts correctly. Any person, youngster, we say, you know these youngsters, how they think. It is all their thought. So the thoughts are very, very important, and very important aspect in our life. And it is thoughts that make us do what and what things. A person just gets a thought, I must go for Umrah. After that, he's booking tickets. He's sorted, let me take the wife and children. Now you are booking, now you have accommodation you are seeing. Now the visa, everything is on the thought. So the thought is very, very important, that how a person thinks. And there are many types of various ways philosophers, they've got their way of thinking. Greek philosophy has got its philosophy. Indian philosophy has got their philosophy. Everyone, there are lots of philosophers in the world, and all think their way. So what is it that we must think? How must we, what goes up to negate all the other way of thinking and bring the one way of thinking of Islam, of Deen, of the existence and the presence and the Qudrat and the mercy of Allah, of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, who is an ideal model, perfect model. All that is what we have, my thinking must go in that direction. And today, unfortunately, a child is affected by whatever happens around him from the time he's in the womb of the mother. The child is formed in about 4 months, the body of the child is formed in the womb of the mother. And then the ruh comes in. And for 5 months roughly, the child is living in the womb of the mother. And its environment is having an effect on the child. I mentioned before also, once we were in Durban, and one young boy sat on the minbar and he read Quran Kareem beautifully, correctly. When I asked his father after that, and the masjid was full to capacity and mostly were all ulama and ufah, how come he has so much courage and he read so beautifully also and so correctly? His father gave it a little thought and then said when his mother conceived, she used to read every day 15 sufah. So that has an effect. If the child is in an environment where the TV is on all day, if a child is in an environment where dunya talks of guna take place, 100% the child is going to be like that. And then when it's born, moreover, the most crucial year of bringing a child and putting it in the right direction is the first 2 years. And that's the time when most of us are most unmindful of tarbiyat of the child. What clothes we buy for the child, what we put on for the child. There was Hadith Sayyid Fakhruddin Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, great buzurg of Durban, very close associate of Haji Bhai Padia, Rahmatullah Ali. So one time he told us his grandson or great-grandson, the parents went for shopping and they bought a police outfit for going, small child. So when he just put on that police outfit, dressed like a police, he started arresting people, I'm catching you. So the clothes have an immediate effect on a person. What type of clothes you wear, it has an effect on a person. And the type of clothes we are putting for our children, the language that we use, all that has a great effect on the child. So it's very important our way of thinking must be correct. On one occasion, Hazrat Ibad ibn Sariyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu relates the hadith. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave a bayan. And in the bayan, wajilat minhu qulub, hearts were trembling. Zarafat minhal uyun, tears were flowing from everyone's eyes. So somebody told Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, looks like this is your farewell sermon. What a bayan Jesus is. So give us some special advice. Amongst the advisors, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, عَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّةِ وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِينَ. So that must be what our thinking must be. The sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam and the Khulafai Rashidin. The way of life of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala. And Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said that عَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّةِ and تَمَسَّكُوا بِسُنَّةِ بِالنَّوَاجِسِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ. That hold on to my sunnah from what your back teeth. If you hold something on the front teeth, it can be pulled out. In other words, hold very firmly onto my sunnah. So that should be our thinking. So we have to bear and keep roza, and we expel, take out all this Western way of life. So a child, before it's born, unfortunately, generally, our environments are negative. When the child is born, negative, TV is on. How many mothers, just to get away from their children, their responsibility. They put on the TV for the child, or nowadays little children, small children also use the cell phone, and they go to wherever they want to on there. And while the mother gets her free time, that should not be the case at all. And worse is when children are given over to a nursery school, to a pre-primary, to Montessori, daycare, etc. Once we were traveling in Malawi, and that was the first time I saw this, a notice board on the side of the road at Edward, that we should care for your children from birth. That means the mother just gives birth and hands them over to them. And the mother then carries on, goes to work, etc., whatever. And so that is their way, their culture. And they do all the things like that. No responsibility. And the connection between mother and child is so strong. Very, very strong, the connection between a mother and a child. And what has to be made of the child, the mother is greatly responsible. And therefore we are taught that when we get married, everyone is not going to marry a Rabia Basriya or some great Buzur, whoever we marry, but the etiquette we don't follow. When we get married, when we are alone with our wives in the bedroom, first is to make two rakats of namaz, where the husband is the imam and the wife is following him. That is the first thing. That is a great lesson. I'm the imam in the house, and you're going to follow me. But I'm the imam, not I follow my own self, what I want to. I can't make my namaz with ruku first, and then make salam, and then make sajda, haphazard way. I have to follow the way Allah has told in the way of Nabi Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So you follow me as long as I follow Allah and His Rasul. That is that message that is given. So first night already that message is given to the wife. And she stands behind, and as the husband does, she will do like that. And she will understand that the husband is the imam in the house. It will come into the system of deen itself. It will have its effect. Though we might not know all these philosophies, but they are there and they are going to have an effect on us. We should have that. After that, you make a short dua, and after that, the night is yours with your wife. Now you are free. Do what you want to. But first, turn in this way. How many of us do that? We see that, for example, a student, 7 years he goes to maktab roughly. 3 years he becomes hafiz, 10 years. 6-7 years he becomes an alim, 17 years. Then he does some tahassus, or he goes for 1 year jamaat, about 20 years. He gets married and his fajr is not with jamaat. Or there is no fajr at all, or it's not with jamaat. After 20 years of intensive deeni activity, interaction, but the first day when you are tested, there is no namaz. And there is no fajr with jamaat, and perhaps that namaz before having our wife, that namaz is also not there for most of us. And most of us don't know. And if we want to know about marriage, we go to a bookshop, CNA, wherever, and we buy one of those books of written by Western people. And that etiquette we follow. Whereas our deen has given us in detail every aspect. And then so that first night. And then the wife, now she will be made according to that. Now the children going to be in her care. The father is not all the time with the children. Hazrat Ji Maulana Musibullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali explained one of the furs of the woman folk is that they will see, my mother gives me my milk, she cares for me, she washes me, she does everything for me. I don't hardly see my father. Early in the morning, perhaps the child is sleeping, father is gone to work. By the time the father comes, maybe he's sleeping. He hardly sees, he hardly perhaps knows about his father. Only later on when he grows a little up, all the time the connection is with the mother. The mother, amongst her all other duties, is also to say, to teach the child, the authority in our house is the head of the family, the father. It's not me. You see everything happening by me. You are with me all the time. But I am also under your father. What instructions he gives me, I follow those instructions. So the mother has to train her student, her children according to that. So the straining all will come if we started the wedding in the first night the correct way. Hazrat Maulana As'ad Madani Rahmatullah Ali explained once that there were two brothers who intended getting married, and everyone wants a pretty wife, and there were two extremely pretty sisters, and they had made a condition: whoever marries us, then our condition is every night when we get into the bedroom, that with our shoes we give them 10 shots on their head. That is our condition. Now who is going to accept that? That 10 shots you must take from your wife every night. Two brothers, they decided we will accept this condition. The one brother was more sharper than the other one. So what he did, he kept a cat as a pet. And for about 10 days he didn't feed the cat. So when the bride came and they were together, the cat was hungry. It was screaming, meowing out of hunger. And he had a sword ready also. And he just took the sword and he hit the head of that cat, making a big noise. Our first night he had. So that wife, she didn't think of taking her shoes and hitting the brother, the husband. So they carried on. After about a week, then both went home again. After spending a week, which was a practice very common amongst our Indian people also, Ana Varna. So that after a week, the wife goes home again. Now it's gone out, that practice. It's not a deeni practice in any case, but it was a practice. So when they went home, the two sisters met, the two brothers met, with the wife's absence. So the sisters asked, how's it going? The one said, I'm giving him 10 shots every day. The other one said, oh, no, I couldn't, because when he took out that sword and he killed that cat, I didn't have the guts or even thinking about that. I just kept quiet. So she got the idea, that is the way to go. I must do that. Just like the two brothers met, and they asked, how's it going? The one said, I'm collecting my 10 shots. The other one said, I did just tadbir, this plan, and it worked. And I know. So he said, I'm also going to start that now. So he also kept the cat. So when the wife came and he pulled out his sword, she told him that he should have done first night. Now your time is gone. Now it's only to work now. So like that, the first night we spend it in resorts, in Napa places. We spend it with no namaz in our life. We spend it with no command of Allah in mind. And then the whole marriage, we want it to go, want a blissful marriage. You can have as many wedding cards wishing you a blissful marriage and wishing you all the good, but without this way of thinking, this mindset, it can't come. We have to have that. We go to the resorts, we go to hotels where the worst gunas take place. Before anyone wants to commit a zina, a hotel is the place. You go there, that's the place for all that. One person in Pakistan going to the resorts in the mountainous area. So when he went there, he checked in as everything. So the lady there, she just filled in everything. So then she didn't ask him much details. So after he went for some work, his bride was there. They were just newly married. So the bride asked that lady, that how come you know all his details? So he says, every month he comes for honeymoon here. He's making a new wedding every month. He comes every month. So I know all his details. I even know his PAN number. I know everything. He comes every month for honeymoon. So these are those places for all this evil and filth that takes place. And now even worse, with this lesbianism, homosexuality, these are the stenches for that. And we want to put the foundation of our marriage in such places. How can it ever have any goodness in it? Those places are to be avoided. That linen is sparkling clean. The room is beautiful clean, but it's there in the environment. When a person goes to the haram of Makkah, he puts his first step in the haram. And from Adam a.s. till Nabi a.s., every Nabi made Hajj. And that Hajj, the atharat of that Nabi Hajj is there, and it is mahfuz, it's protected, it is there, and you get it. All you have to do is open your heart. If you go to Medina Sharif and your heart is open when you're standing at Roza and Mubarak, even if you're just walking past, nowadays the God wouldn't just allow you to stand and read your Salatul Salam. Even if you are just walking past, that shower, that waterfalls of Allah's rahmat that is coming down, torrents and torrents of it, if your heart is open, you'll get all that. And if you go to Victoria Falls, Niagara Falls, they offer you raincoats to wear, because the splashes from a long distance, you get wet with that, your clothes get wet with that. So you wear these raincoats. Yet it's necessary to take off your raincoat of guna. And for that reason, go to some shaykh, make your islah, make your tarbiyah to take the benefit of the hajj, of the umrah, of ziyarat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. You take all that off and you open your heart and then see all that nur. Otherwise, a person goes every year for umrah. He goes every year for hajj also. But he goes for hajj umrah without namaz in his life. He comes back without hajj for namaz in his life. He goes without a beard. He comes back without a beard. Wife without niqab, hijab, she comes back in that condition. But if your heart is open, and so many people we have seen, one hajj, one umrah, their whole life just changed completely. Their whole thinking of life, their whole attitude, this is what has to come. That has to come into our life. We come to the Khalqa. Many of us come to for the weekly majlis, monthly majlis. Many come every year. But if it's not changing our way of thinking, then we haven't been coming. Only our body is here, but our mind and heart is not here. This all is to change our way of thinking. And our way of thinking has to go with the way of what Allah wants us to. And what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has taught us, that is the way that we have to go. So it's very, very important. So when we consume our marriage, and we consummate it, and we go to these evil places, what can you expect after that? Then the children, if they don't grow up as rebels in the house, and we say that they don't want to listen to us, they don't want to listen to anyone, it's we, what we. What we commonly say, that if the parents, they ate, drank Zamzam water of Makkah Sharif, and from that the semen was made, of which the child was born, the child will be a Makki. And if they ate Khajur of Medina Sharif, and from there the semen was made, from which the child was made, the child will be Madan. And if the parents ate junk food, and of that semen, the child, blood, the child was made the semen, then he will be a Janki. We blame the children of today, but it is the parents of today. What we are, that will be our children. A child is the secret of his parents, of his father, his parents. What we got in our heart, that will come out in our children. And we can access this Sufis, everything. But what are our children? There are so many people who have given their lives for deen. But in their heart is still that way of thinking. It's still that Western culture. And in their heart is still children must become doctors, must become lawyers, etc. And we can outwardly be so much engaged in deeny work. But in our heart is that. How many ulama? They are ulama. But in their heart is the Western way. They make their children doctors. They make their children engineers. What is in your heart? That is what is going to come out. So this is the month of Ramadan to get our thinking. We mustn't think like Indians. Don't think as Pakistani. Not as Arabs. Not as Chinese. Not as African. Not as European. We have to think according to the deen of Islam. The sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That way of life, whether we are Indians or whether we are Africans, whether we are Europeans, our way of life, it must be that one way of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is the month to work on that aspect also. Not just on the other aspect, on our thinking. And our boss is our heart. And then the final decision is made. If a person wants to commit some guna, or Fajr time is a bit lazy, must I get up, I'm not feeling nice today, or whatever, I need a bath, there's no hot water, water is cold, whatever it might be, the mind will give advice to the heart. But the final decision the heart will make, whether I must go or I must not go. And this is all how we are trained in our thinking. So our thoughts and our thinking is very, very important. And if we make effort one Ramzan for that, and we get our thinking to think, our way of thinking is according to Deen, Sunnah, that will come into our life. Nabi Hadith Salatu Wasalam said in the same hadith that Taraktukum Adal Bayda, I left you on a clear white path. There's no crookedness in that path. There are no curves, it's one straight path. And there is no black spots, and there are no grey areas also. And it is so clear and white, Layluha Kanahariha. The night of it is like the day. Night is darkness, but its darkness is like the day, right? There is no black spot, no darkness, a clear path of Islam. And Islam is, if we our thinking comes right, we will see in everything we won't have a doubt whether I must do this, I must do that. And when you have some little grey areas, immediately you will shun that also. And that is what we are taught, that well, they are the clear, al-halal bayyinun, wal-haram bayyinun. Halal is clear, haram is clear, and there are doubtful things in between. So what must be done in there? Shun the doubt. There are two opinions. Many of us who say also in this masala there is ikhtilaf. So the ikhtilaf on the side where there is ikhtilaf, there is a possibility. And this time is the clear cut thing. Follow the clear cut. Don't think about the possibility also. It is so clear our method is for us. But all that has to do with our correct thinking. If we train ourselves and we keep that rosa also, then we won't have problems in our deen at all. Clear cut it will be. And deen is so easy, so palatable, so enjoyable. The eagerness of deen, if that is still not in me, my namaz, I'm not eager for namaz. My tilawat, I do it, I have to do it. But that eagerness, that joy is not there, then there is still a great shortage which we have to work on. And it has all to do with our way of thinking. If we are a fish out of water, our way of thinking is different. And we are with other people, we go to a function. And our way is different than their way of doing their things. Everything is done differently there. There are drones, there is photography, there is music, man, woman, mixing, and you have got this other way of thinking, you just see you don't fit in there. You just can't, you won't even enter. Or if you enter, you'll want to leave immediately again. You can't, it just doesn't. So it's a very important thing that our mizaj, our way of thinking, sochna, apne soch ko durust karna, that our thinking must come right. And that is also one important aspect of this month of Ramadan, that we keep rosas of our mind and our heart, and we shun all this Western way of thinking, being influenced of their, what they do, everything. We just follow blindly what they say. We follow it like that is the truth, that is the absolute truth. Whereas we have got a clear cut, there can't be a greater way than the way of Allah Pak's Quran Sharif and the way of Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Everything else, it will just get automatically cancelled. Today when that is our case, well, from the before birth already you are influenced by this Western way, with the TVs, etc. Then at birth time, many of us will go to nursing homes, delivery places. There they play soft music. And what's the excuse? To soothe the nerves of the mother. The mother is very tense at that time. But that shaitaniyat that is coming from there, from all that music, one friend asked that if you play games on the phone to make your brain sharp. So all the games, all the cartoons, everything has got shaitaniyat in it. You are making your brain sharp for shaitan to work. from the wrong source, haram source, it can never let your brain work in the right way. That sharp brain of yours, for example, this was very long ago, just when all this started, what reports, because we don't know now what and what games there must be on the phone, and what cartoons there were. At that time, there was this one a game where you score points. And in that, what was it? That there were some people, like evil people, making a big noise. And you must get rid of them. They're causing a commotion. They're causing a noise in the society. And they're upsetting everything. At the end, what it was realized? This noise, what was it? The azan. So how much you kill those people giving the azan. And they build up your enmity for azan. And afterwards they analyze it, that who is the, what is this noise? It is the azan causing. Whereas azan, non-Muslim people have testified. And many Hindus want to stay near the masjid. They take the peace and serenity we get from the azan. But how they portray it. So all their games have got this shaitani ability. One place that you have to kill the certain people who are the terrorists. And they are when they're causing trouble in society, in mankind. And you must target them. How many more you kill, so many more points you score. And you win the game eventually. And who they turn out to be? The people who follow deen, sunnah. These are the people. Today it's common that the real terrorist, it is just like a crook. When he had stolen and he was running away. And the people were now chasing. So he said, there he's gone, there he's gone. So all ran in that direction, and he went away peacefully the other side. So like that, they have all the red herring they have put, and they blame other people for all. They themselves the worst terrorists, the worst abusers of abuse of human rights, the worst torture which you can't even imagine. They are all guilty of it, and all that they blame on the Muslims. That the Muslims are really, who doesn't know, even non-Muslims in Germany, one Turkish man living in a neighborhood, the police came and arrested him. All the non-Muslim people were shocked. He was a helpful person to every household. When asked them what work you got, some gardening he should do, some shopping he should do, they knew him thoroughly, and not for 1-2 years, for a number of years, but because he was Muslim and dressed like a Muslim and giving a good picture of Islam, he was a terrorist. So they were shocked. He's a terrorist. If he's a terrorist, we all want to be terrorists. So this is how they have all the values of things. So, and today, without any doubt whatsoever, most of us, especially those gone to schools and universities, our thinking is like their thinking. We are still not at that stage. Maulana Sayyid Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi explained that the Russian revolution that came and where they banned religion completely in the Soviet Union. How did they get, how did they, where Islam was so strong, places are like Bukhara and Samarkand, and today very sadly we as what called ulama, we don't know our history also. And in all matters, we also look at Islam as from the start, we look at it in the negative way. In fact, one good friend was teaching Maktab, he told him to teach the history of Islam only to the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar. Because from Sayyidina Uthman, radiallahu ta'ala, understand, then there was a lot of bloodshed and killing. And this carried on in Hazrat Uthman, Hazrat Umar's time, Hazrat Ali, and then Hazrat Uthman, Hazrat Ali, and then Karbala, and then the Khilafah, Abbasid Khilafah, and the other Umayyad Khilafah. You find a lot of fighting and way of life which was contrary to Islam. Many of us know about that. But the great, great, great good that was taking place in that area, with the good we have blotted it out, and we are just looking at the wrong things. Highlight the good. Islam was spreading like wildfire in those times. Islamic values, Islamic knowledge, Islamic ethos, Islamic the woman of Islam, the children of Islam, what great thing. Let's teach the children. Why teach them the ikhtilafat? That was, everyone got, in our house, husband and wife got differences. Now why highlight the differences? Your whole life you are living at night, happily. You have a few ups and downs, which are necessary. In a business you have, in everywhere, mutawallis of a masjid will have, in a madrasa you're going to have, everywhere you're going to have. For example, Darul Uloom Deoband, what great work. Now if somebody just highlights the times when they hate the differences and the fights they have, and they say these Maulvis, they only fight all the time. Look at this, and we only highlight, and only that is in our mind. But the great work, the great luminaries of India, Maulana Qasim Nanotvi Rahmatullahi, who established Darul Uloom Deoband, and then Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib, a graduate of Darul Deoband, the great work of Tabligh. And then Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullahi, the great work of Tasawwuf. He was a mujaddid in that field. And how he brought the true Tasawwuf back to life again. And what a luminary. All that we don't highlight. Now they hate some fight also, arguments that will take place. And that also the seeds are planted by the enemy. And we also watering those seeds and making the evil, and we talk about those, but all the good that was happening, that we don't talk about. Ulama, they are doing great work of need. They do make mistakes also. They are not farishtas. They are going to, now we only highlight the mistakes, that the ulama are like this, and the ulama are like that. But all the great work that we forget. So we have to, our way of thinking is very important. And this is the month that we get it correct. And then we will see, we will benefit. Today we have deprived ourselves of our legacy of Islam. From the time of Nabi Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the beauty of Islam. And we only, we focusing on the negative things of the fight between in the time of Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and after that. But what great, great legacy we have got in every field, in Quran and in Hadith, and all the ulum and funun of Quran and Hadith, in worldly knowledge also. Everything, we surpass everyone. But what they make, that is not spoken about at all. In Spain, where the Muslims had reached, to which height they had reached, all that work, but we don't speak, we don't know about it. We don't know, we haven't got a clue if we go in the library, where must I go and find this also? Where must I look for it also? We haven't got a clue. That is what we should know, and that is what we should speak in every field, whether it was optics to do with eyes, whether it was gynecology, whether it was astronomy, whether it was geography. Muslims were the leaders in every field. So that is not important for us. Ours is deen, akhirah. But we don't know. And how they have made us. So from when the child is born, this is what he's watching, cartoons and that. And then after that, he's going to pre-primary. Again, all that, whole day. The mother will go to work in one pre-primary and send the child to another pre-primary. And that is the advance. If she looks after her own children, she's a backward woman. She doesn't know what's happening in life. But when she goes and works for a boss, and she's a slave to the boss, she's a slave to the emotions of the boss also. In order to get promotion, in order to stay, keep a job, she has to make her boss happy, whatever he demands of her. She has to live like that with her boss. And yet her children are neglected. And nobody can look after a child better, give a better upbringing to a child than what the mother can. What the mother can do, and the love the mother has got, and the bond the mother has got with his child, nobody in the world can have that. So the mother, in that first 2 years, so if we made our namaz, and we trained the mother in the first as child, one time we were with Hazrat in Mauritius, and there were two alims, very jolly alims, and they also joined with Hazrat. And then they told Hazrat that we have to become murid to you, but on condition that as soon as you become murid, you give us khilafat also. So Hazrat was very, very sharp in his hazir jawab, answers were ready. He said that, wow, if a child is just born now, or you just got married and a child is born, then the nasab is not sabit also. And you can't say it's a Sadhu's child. You just got married and a child is born. The Nasab is not Sadhu. So how can you expect? You just become the earth and you get Khilafat. Though, mashallah, mashallah, they did that. And by Allah's ilham, which Allah put in their heart. And then what works those murid also did. So anyway, the training of the children, and the first 2 years, the mother, and that is, it's an Arabic saying, that what you learn in that year is like what you have engraved on a rock. No weather condition, nothing can wash it out. That what the mother and the parents put in the child in the first 2 years, that will remain for life. And if we spoiled it and we grew up with the Western way and with the same thing we're putting in our children also, they're going to grow up with that and they're going to be 100 steps ahead of us. And then the more worse things we will see. So it's very important. And for this, as our old people used to say, you have to make water out of your blood. You have to put rocks on your heart. If you want to bring up your children, one, it's not just a matter of shouting, do this, don't do that, I'll hit you, I'll do this. That's not training. It is a matter of speaking to the child and make him understand. And when you do that, there was one Maulana Abdul Qadir Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, tramway building in Johannesburg, the Musa Hassan Madrasa, he was teaching there. And in those days, one ustad, he should teach up to 120 children in the afternoon maktab class. One ustad, 120 children. Which ustad today? Ustad, in those days, teaching in Urdu, translating into Gujarati. How they should do it? In that one class, they had 5-6 groups. And then he identified the clever students and that. So he should train them. And while he is giving sabak here, those students were getting those students, he knows that home nothing is done. He trained them for their sabak, let them learn their sabak, what we will call takrar in a madrasa. So when they come, they know their lesson. So he just quickly goes through and he gives them the next sabak. Because he has trained them like that. His whole class, he made those, identified those clever students and took work, and in the process they became ustad. Without going to teachers training college, because in that period of 7 years, he under his guidance teaching them how to teach them, they became ustad. His work became lighter, and in this way he taught 120 students, 120 in about a matter of 2.5 and 3 hours. And what quality students, absolute quality students. So like that, the mother, today again the girls, they are out of the house. Girls also have to play sport. Girls also have to do. Whereas if the mother trained the girls, they will do more than half of her work with the next children. Her first child comes, and fortunately that mother whose first born is a girl. We always look for boys, but it comes in the Hadith Sharif that that is a blessed woman whose first born is a girl. And there are great advantages in that. When the girl is grown up from the age of 8 and 9, they can run a house already. Once we were in Makkah Sharif, and in one shop, the small little shop, one boy, perhaps I gauged his age, about 10 or 11, and he was serving 10, 12 customers at one time, giving change to this person, showing the goods to this person, taking money from that person. He was trained like that. He could do it. Today, our boys, even when they are grown up, they can't run a small grocery shop. They can't run a small little business also. We don't train them in that way. And in that, it just comes to mind now, when once we were in Malaysia, and we spoke to some people, then one of the Malaysians in our discussion, they said, you people in South Africa, your new South Africa coming now, they don't make the mistake we made in Malaysia. What mistake? He said, we in Malaysia, all the business was in our control. But when the Chinese started coming, we started setting up and the Chinese took over the business. And we went into professions. We became doctors, lawyers, engineers, all that. We went in that field. And the country is ruled by the businessmen, not by parliament and the parliamentarians and the government people. The money comes from the business people, and they make them the laws what they want. They make them pass in parliament what they want. It's not what they, that is just a show there. This argument and that argument and finally, but laws are passed today, what is told in America, and that is what you have to do. Here you have a big session of parliament, spending so much money, but it's all just a waste of time. It's all the noise made from before. Famous of South Africa, Mandela, he was adamant to have the death sentence, but the order came from outside, from America, no death sentence. He said, I was helpless, I couldn't do it. And being, and what a man after brought the change, he was one instrumental amongst many other people to bring the change in South Africa. But he couldn't, the law he wanted to, he couldn't implement that law. He had to do what he was told to do. So the parliamentarians are just sitting as puppets also. And it is the business people. And when we have gone, you say when we went into the academic field, so the business were empty, the Chinese came, and they are ruling our country today. The whole economy and the whole monopoly of the business is in the Chinese people's hand. He says, you people don't make this mistake. But unfortunately, we went headlong in that direction. Before 94, we had very few doctors. We should go to white people, non-Muslim doctors, when we needed dentists, opticians, everything. But after 94, the universities were open, and all boys and girls are going to university. Now we have so many Muslim, all doctors, top people who are in medicine, etc., all Muslim people. And the businesses, whoever is in the business, the Chinese people, yeah, they have come. Not only they in Malaysia, which is a neighboring country, but the Chinese are ruling the business here also. So the business is, and for a business, the father is in the business. When his son grows up, he brings him into the shop. And he teaches him the business. You don't need a B.com and an M.com in order to do business. One person in India, when a customer came in, so the child, he got his B.com, M.com. And when the customer came, so he asked for this or whatever. Now he's checking on the computer and he's taking time. Father saw Annari. He doesn't know what to do. And father took out 10 materials, 10 different, what you call them, rolls of materials, opened it and threw it out to that person. Told the worker, go buy one penta and give it to this customer here. So now if the customer doesn't want to buy also, after that penta is in his mouth, how can he say, I don't want to buy now? He has to buy 2 millimeters of material, 3 meters, and you still looking on the computer, what business are you going to do? This practical you have to learn, and that you learn with your parents who did this business for so long, you learn with them, but our mindset has changed completely. We can be ulama also today, Sufis also, but our mindset is the Western mindset. That is what is ingrained in us. We have to work at Ramzan is the time. Bring the pure, keep roza and stay away. Don't consume this Western way of thinking in any field. Their way of thinking is subject to investigation, interrogation. And our way is wholeheartedly we accept. But the opposite is our mind. That is sunnah, we question sunnah. Commands of Allah we question, existence of Allah we question. That should be a thing that should be never ever coming to our mind. Our children ask these questions today. What is Darwin theory they are taught openly. And so what is their mindset? So very important, Allah make us understand that the ruza of our thinking, our mindset, our way of thinking, that we have to keep that. And in that, as we stay away from food and drink, from our desires which are so dear to a young man, a man who is old now and is deep free, he's frozen, he's got no desire, that's a different story. But a young man who is just married now, what his desires are. So all that, keep it all the Islamic way, and stay away from all those Western way of thinking. Then we can expect some Qasim, Muhammad ibn Qasim, and some Usama, and some other, what great, great people Islam has produced. Our children can and they must become today also like that. But not with cartoons can they become like that. And not with all the music and all the other, the sports, which you, what was the sport? That broken leg now, or now knee problem, hip problem. This is what the sport gives you. And Islamic sport, that is a different. Archery, racing, running, the correct things to do, that is different. Allah give us tawfiq to understand and just keep our mind pure Islam. This is the month to do it. And if we can do it, and we try and at least bring it into our children, and we let them think in the right way, and then we can expect a good result that will come. Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. And whenever our children, we see them make this dua, Allahumma ij'alhum barran taqiyya, make them pious, make them have taqwa. Allahumma faqqifhum fi al-deen, wa'allimhum al-kitaba wal-hikma wal-ta'wil, wa-barifin wa-nshur minhum. Blow on our children, make dua for our children, that we can produce, have a crop of children of that caliber. Not with what we have, what we are. And that our values are Western values. Our etiquette are Western etiquette. Our way of thinking is Western way of thinking. To take that out completely from us. And to bring an Islamic way. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah.